about other shows.
Sci-Fi After Party.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi After Party. It is just basically the post-show ramblings of us talking about whatever comes to mind after the regular podcast. So it has spoilers. We talk about different stuff every week. So just sit back and enjoy the ride.
You and me, Kat, are going to be at the theater for M. Night's latest movie.
You know what?
Airbender.
I am not falling for it. Phineas, did you see this trailer for M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong's Airbender?
I don't know why you hiding it, Kat. You've been telling me how much you have been dying to see another
really?
M. Night.
Really? You're going to do that? You're going to do that on my podcast? You're going to say that? You are disinvited from my podcast, sir.
I'm trying to figure out how you know about so much about Shyamalan Ding Dong.
You know what? How do you say his name? Shyamalan? M. Night. I'm just going to go with M. Night.
Barbecue breakfast, man.
It was barbecue chicken. That's it, dude. Come on. I'm from Texas. I can eat that for breakfast. Anyway, Last Airbender. Wow. Honestly, Carl, it looks really good. I'm just really scared because M. Night always screws us.
He does. This
is really pulling me in. It was pretty. It was just gorgeous. And I sat there in the movie. I will not see this movie. I will not see this movie. I will not see this movie because I don't want to get screwed over again. But
thank you.
You know, I'll just pack up Vaseline and go anyway. You know, I don't know.
It's killing me. I know it. I know it because every time, ever since The Sixth Sense, I have given him time after time because he shoots so beautifully. He knows how to unveil a story. I'm going, this time it's going to work. And we talked about this before, and I was hoping that because the script had been written ahead of time, because, you know, it was before he was involved, everybody knew the history of Airbender, that I was like, okay, maybe he's just going to do like a direct, it's going to be like a photography edge that he's putting on it, but the story's already there, right? Have you heard from the writers?
Dude, they all quit. Everybody's quitting on that thing left and right.
This does not bode well for the Airbender. So that just means that M. Night's got full creative control over this wonderful entity that is now the new Airbender. They're killing me.
Why are you so upset? Because right now, you are in control of your life. You control your destiny, Carl. You control your destiny. You can opt not to torture yourself and not pay money to see this movie. Tell him, Phineas.
No, the problem is, Kat, you said, Carl, I want you to see this movie so we can talk about it. And I said, Kat, no.
You must be talking to somebody. That's not me.
The problem is, look, the fans
have
loved
Airbender.
The fans have loved Airbender. It is an incredible property. I mean, I was looking forward to this being a movie. I really was. I mean, come on.
I've never heard of
it. Like, what do you mean? Are you serious?
Not prior to the M. Night movie deal.
Oh, you're slacking. Okay, well, look.
Really?
Just trust me. It's got a beautiful history behind it. The fans are just ravenous. I mean, it is a really good thing. So to see a property like that, just sort of hand it over to M. Night, and with his track record, it's heartbreaking. It just makes me frustrated and so sad because this could have been spectacular. And you know what? Maybe I'm wrong.
I want to be wrong.
He will come out of the box with this one and surprise us all the first time, in 20 years that he's got us something that's actually...
I will write this dude a letter or something if it's good. I will write something.
I'll tell you what. I'll let y'all burn your hole in the pocket first and get your toes froze before I go to this movie.
Oh, that's just no. Maybe I'll let Carl see it first, and then.
I was hoping that maybe like a blood pack, we could all go and one see.
Hey, you know what? Hey, that might work because eventually. Hey, I got a customer down in Houston, so I'm gonna be eventually coming down there anyway. Hey, let's rock.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. You paying?
Well, oh. Hey, it's on expenses if I gotta travel for work, you know.
You can expense movie. Well, that might be the way to go because I don't. I mean, it's not an expensive ticket. It's just the thought of I worked hard for this money. I had to work this amount of time for this money, and that's gone because of M. Night. What's going on with
anybody? I think that Phineas and Mike
breakdancing over there, dude.
Does anybody, is this going to be like in 3D or anything?
I don't need it to be. I hope not.
Okay.
It's not that I don't want it in 3D. It's just that, look, if you didn't make it for 3D, don't.
Yeah, don't yeah. They probably, the end of it. They have enough trouble with the regular films. So wait a second. Yeah, no. So, all right.
Okay, so we got Airbender coming up. What else? You're going to see Twilight. I know all of you guys are. Yay! Okay, no.
You know, I have not seen one of those movies yet.
Harry Potter?
I'll go see Harry Potter. I will go see Harry Potter. Okay. I'll see that.
What else? What are we? Oh, what's dun 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 dun.
Oh, the A-Team.
Yeah, that.
No, I'm not watching that. I refuse. Oh. I refuse to watch
Phineas,
that movie.
Why are you being so grumpy? Not even that? Come on.
I pity the fool. I pity the fool. That's going. That has to live up to Mr. T, man. That
should have gotten Ice Cube, but whatever. You know.
But Ice Cube would have been good. If it would have. Yeah. I keep saying that. If they would have picked Ice Cube as Mr. T, or as that B.A. Baracus character, I would have.
No, because they got, what's my man name? What's his Liam Neeson? Liam Neeson. That as man Hannibal, can do no wrong. He can't do
as it. Hannibal. Come on,
that dude can make episode one of Star. What is that? Wars. Awesome. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even remember. I can't. I'm gonna let that go because I couldn't even get that out. Well, I couldn't even say that with a straight face.
I'm gonna wait for. I might pay for it if it comes out on DVD just for the heck of it. You know.
Then you have to own it, and if somebody come over and it's like, you bought that?
They can steal. They can steal it. I'll put it in my collection of stealable movies. You know, I keep the stuff they can steal out. So when they,
okay.
Oh no. For some reason every time somebody from my hood comes over, they gotta walk out with something. So they gotta walk out with that.
I'm glad I don't know your girlfriends.
You know, ain't nobody gonna walk out with that. They will walk out with the plasma and leave that right in the middle of the floor just to spite you, like sucker.
Okay, so Carl, you're sleeping on Tron? I mean,
No. I'm just saying, we were talking about something that was gonna have a non-Hollywood, a non-traditional, you know, you were saying.
Oh, okay. Your first thought was Airbender. And that's
you know I'm cracking. Come on, you know okay. That is not gonna be it. You know what I think actually will have a chance. You know what I think was gonna have a chance. Now it could either be spectacular or it could suck. Now and technically this is the same thing I said about District 9, but have you seen the previews for Inception?
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I saw they showed that movie.
Inception. Remind me, jog my memory. What is it?
Well, see, it's so crazy. It's even hard to describe. It's the guy who made the Dark Knight put this movie together. It's got Leonardo DiCaprio in it, and the whole trailer feels like an Escher painting or something. I don't exactly know. It's like trying to explain what The Matrix was before you saw the movie.
Isn't J.J. Abrams the director of that movie?
No, that's Super 8.
Oh, that's Super 8. They had the Motel from Hell movie. Yeah, that's right. Well, it's not really a motel movie, but that's how I remember that movie. Yeah, that's Super 8. Yeah.
So, I like I said, I don't know what it is, but it's something like a movie where people can enter your dreams and control your dreams. And so, you know, like I said, the whole thing felt like an Escher painting because, you know, you got cities rolling up and gravity pulling to the side and people falling down hallways and stuff.
I wasn't impressed with that.
That looks like it's going to be a good movie. Really? It looks like it might be a good movie. It's going to be totally bad.
That's what I'm saying is I want to see something different. And this has got a chance of being different.
Leonardo. He's been awesome lately, so maybe.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing or a bad thing because, Ellen Page is in this? Well, anyway, you know, like I said, I wanted to see something a little bit different than your traditional Hollywood fare. And I know it's special effects heavy, and you know it's got DiCaprio in the lead. But maybe this is going to take us someplace new. Like I said, just like District 9 did last year, I'm hoping there's always one in a nook or cranny someplace that's gonna be big.
On IMDb, it says if you enjoy this title, you will enjoy Spear, Paycheck, Donnie Darko, Terminator, and Terra. So, but yeah, it's trying to compare to. Yeah, if you like those movies, you'll like this one. That's a little.
That's probably like a director thing, not because they haven't seen the plot yet. So that's probably like a director computer generated matching going on.
Okay, I don't know.
But anyway, so like I said, that's the only thing I can think of that's going to be that appears to be something new. Oh man, I how could I have forgotten? And you all should be ashamed of yourself for not remembering.
Oh, look at us. He always put the blame on.
Step Up 3D. That's
okay. What are you talking? What is this? What does that mean? What are you talking about? What is Step Up? Is that the dance movie?
Yes.
Dude, what are you doing to my podcast? You know what?
It's in 3D, so it's gonna like blow it out. It's 3D.
What are you talking about? And that's it for this week, folks. Yeah. Thank you, Phineas, for joining us.
You can solve all your problems by dancing.
Yeah, well.
Everybody dance stuff.
Phineas, do you watch Pearl. Stargate SGU?
I got bored with it after about the third episode.
I wanted to talk to you about that, but we can't.
Oh my God.
Phineas, you are
not missing a damn thing.
Serious? You've been watching it, right, Carl?
Cat.
Oh, okay.
Intergalactic ticks, space Lyme disease. You gonna bring me space Lyme disease on Stargate? Come on!
Hey, you know what? I can probably stomach about 10 or 15 minutes every time I try to watch that show, and it's like, man, this would I probably could have dealt with this if this was like the beginning of the Stargate series. But after
if it didn't have Stargate in the name, I could have dealt with it. If it didn't even have Stargate in the name, maybe. But this.
Maybe. I agree with that. But now you got Stargate in the name, and it's like, you know, we went from the Gould, you know, and all this stuff to this political, because you know what? A lot of this stuff is the same old thing, the military against the civilians. And
but they're doing it in a different way.
It's a boring way.
It's like Battlestar Galactica. It's like Battlestar Galactica and plus, I mean, it's like it's like the same thing all over again. Okay, now we're going to take this whole thing where it was just an entertaining series where these dudes would be fighting aliens with machine guns.
P90s in Canada. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, but P90s is a nice, P90s are nice guns, by the way.
I know.
But anyway, but the whole point is you got these guys, you know. You went from, hey, people having to think and people having to be creative and the writers having to be creative to, look how successful Battlestar Galactica was when they put a drama in outer space. And so now they done took Stargate, completely hosed it up, and stuck another drama in outer space.
Cat, you got to talk to me now. Come on now, because what is it that you are seeing as redeeming here?
I've totally divorced it from Stargate. Okay, that's number one. You have to do a little mental hoodoo there. Number two, some of the stories, like the story that everybody was up in arms aired, I think 2 weeks ago, where the Ming-Na was in a wheelchair. Back at home, and she replaced the body of another lady. And this was the episode that people really hated because of the casting call said they needed an emaciated white lady and or something like that in the casting call. And people were so offended, and people you know, saying that there was going to be lesbian sex and somebody was getting raped and all this other type of stuff. And this episode was not as horrible as everybody was trying to make it out to be. So I thought it was an interesting approach to the rock switch deal that they do. They let a person who hadn't walked or fed herself in a very long time do that. I know we've seen on Deep Space Nine, Melora, that episode, and other various, you know, sci-fi shows, they've done this type of thing. But, you know, to see these characters do something like that and see Rush connect with someone, see him, I guess.
But I mean, look, your selling point is the episode was not as horrible as everyone thought it
was. Well, no,
it
was a good episode. No, it was a good episode to me. It was like, you know, people were making out to be some demon violation of something else, and it was just not that. And it's like, they didn't even see the episode before they start ragging on it, and it was just not a bad episode. You had the Beautiful Mind episode with Rush. We got to see more into his life. You had...
But see, I mean...
No, it's not... But that still doesn't save the whole series, though.
Just all the drama that you're talking about, the majority of the stuff is stuff that's incidental to the actual story. I mean, the
what is the story, though? I mean, what are you talking about? What is
the
story?
It's a free-for-all.
So the
story is a free-for-all.
My first issue is, like Phineas was saying, the worst of Battlestar Galactica is the space opera devoid of science fiction, okay? Classic sci-fi, if it's Star Trek, if it's DS9, if it's, you know, any classical Star Trek, I mean, science fiction that's been on TV, it has a drama element in it. You know, there's always this, you know, the tension between the hero and the princess or what. There's always that thing. But they always get back to the robots and the space battles and the aliens.
Well,
and
maybe
stuff.
They're doing science fiction that this is not your daddy's science fiction. Everybody wants to feel. Everybody wants to do something different. And maybe this is just a new generation of how science fiction is being written. Yeah, it might not be as exciting as some of the type of science fiction that we've come to know and love, but do we have to move on and accept what they're doing now? Or are you old and do you just need to, you know, step off from science fiction and the expectations that you have from it?
But where does the line draw? Where does it stop being science fiction then? I mean, at some point...
Whole trend nowadays is that it's science fiction as a backdrop and everything else is about the characters, which, you know, I despise because I want to see stuff blowing up. I want to see something. But at some point, you have to say, okay, either I'm going to watch the show or I'm not, and I'm accepted for what the writers are doing. What are they doing exactly? And can I appreciate what they're doing as artists and not, like, what do I want, and separate from something that you actually want to...
If this is an art experiment, if I am going to IFC to enjoy an experiment from producers and directors of photography, fascinating. Don't get me wrong. It is a beautiful-looking series. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
I mean, the light is dead on. The effects are just out of control. The ship is just a beautiful set, which, unfortunately, is really all it's been, is a set for everything that's going. I appreciate drama. Like I told you, I watch Grey's Anatomy, all right? I enjoy a good drama. But to half-step it, because the drama is not as good, is not as deep, is not as intelligent as something that you would watch on a regular drama, the leveraging, where they could be using technology, or they could be using some... Look, we've had Space Ouija... They're overusing that like they did the holodeck on Star Trek, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm tired of Space Ouija. That is the only really new plot element that they could try to co-opt, or, you know, they could say, oh, look at this as a different side. What makes sci-fi really interesting is they show you modern issues, they show you social constructs, they show you all of that stuff, but they veil it in something that is, okay, yes, but like I said,
but that's what they're website. Doing here, but it's just because you have the space Lyme disease. But
no,
they
the
were
space Lyme disease was such a lame. I mean, come on, that was so.
We've seen it before.
Done.
No, well, can you just agree that we've seen it before, and that's what's boring you, and not that it was a space.
An exercise of psychosis is. I mean, really, an expose or watching people go insane. Okay, fine. That can be interesting, but. You do not even need science fiction for that. I mean, literally, we're talking about a disease that grabbed these people. It was just.
But what did we learn from that? We've learned that Chloe wanted to keep the alien thing inside of her just because she missed her dad that much. Nobody really knew that. Nobody really knew that. That's a different, you know, we know everybody's, like, I guess, phobia or extreme pinpoint. We know that Greer really is concerned about ship security and having another, what do you call it?
A breakdown or whatever. But we're saying that the crew members have angst. Is that what you're saying? We knew that before the Lyme disease. We saw they had troubles. Going deeper into what is making them upset, it's not selling me on this series.
Carl, man, you're going off, man. Shoot.
But I'm just trying to understand why he couldn't accept, like, well, I mean, that they're not trying to do anything groundbreaking or anything. Well, all they're just trying to do is tell the story of these different people. From a standpoint of some person who is used to watching drama or something like that, they're going to see what's going on and appreciate the characters and, like, oh, by the way, you know, they're on a ship. Oh, by the way, there's a space Lyme tick. Oh, by the way, you know, and that, I think you're seeing it from the wrong perspective. You're seeing it from science fiction forward. And you're supposed to be seeing from drama forward. You know what I'm saying?
It's a science fiction show.
But this is what new sci-fi is doing. This is what new sci-fi...
Yeah.
Can I get a word in edgewise, please?
Hell no.
Go ahead.
No, listen. This is my problem with it. They have taken... There's a lot of B-spoof sci-fi, you know, movies that are on sci-fi right now, okay?
But they're changing their whole deal.
No. But what I'm saying is that maybe the series might get better, but right now, to me, it's like all they did was just make a primetime series of a B-rated sci-fi movie. That's all they did. Because if you look at, like, some of these sci-fi movies where they have all these cheesy disasters and monsters, all the, you know, and cheesy aliens and cheesy stuff going on, to me, the writing quality of that show is about on par with that. Now,
that's unfair. That's unkind.
Well, now he's going to defend that because of his interest in those things.
But you're being unfair to yourself, Carl. Could they have made the situation work and make it a less of a cut and paste type of thing like you're doing now? Yes. I really looked forward to seeing what they were going to do. But right now, at best, it's a cut and paste B science fiction movie that comes on every Friday. That's all I see. Because every time I watch this thing, it's like, okay, seen that before, didn't like that. Why did they do that? I ain't watching this crap. I'm going to see the reruns of the Clone Wars cartoon. I mean, that's the way.
Thank you. That's what I'm watching. Look, I cannot say that SGU is as bad as Sci-Fi Saturday Nights. Okay, I mean, I'm sorry, we are in agreement there. I'm going to say, like I said, I think the dramatic writing is pretty good for SGU.
That's all I was trying to say.
Yeah, but my problem is you know, you leave that on Lifetime, or, you know, you put wrap that up in Twilight, you know, and quit faking like it's supposed to be a sci-fi. What really annoyed me, I mean, look at what SG did. The whole first season, I told you this before, we had, let's see, this was the extent of the extraterrestrial contact. They had a wisp of sand was their first alien. They had sparkles in the ship. Was the second incredible alien. That's for the whole first season. There was sand, sparkles, and then they found the crashed ship. All right, then they went into the new season, and they said, okay, this time, oh, man, we're really going to come out of the box. You're going to see some real sci-fi. You even hear what's-his-name with the You Are Here shirt jumping up going, wow, guys, look out the window. It's like our first space battle. Space battle lasted.
Not
like
behind.
8 minutes was that's one all he asked. One half of the first episode of the new series, and then what we got? Space ticks. We're sitting around watching.
I was after that. Don't forget,
there was the giant spider that somebody shot down.
And they got trapped.
I'm sitting here going, what happened? You know, they led us to believe that, okay, they had figured out why we had made such a big noise about SGU in the beginning. And they were like, all right, finally I get to see another ship flying at least. You know, it's a, all right.
But Carl, you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. The thing is, you're supposed to be looking at it. How are the crew and the military getting along? How does Rush feel about the pregnancy? How does is Greer getting along with the thing with his father and how he was abused? What is Matt going through? Why is
none
this one like
that stuff? None of that stuff requires a sci-fi element in it.
Right, that's what they're trying to do. They want to have drama. And they want to put sci-fi on the back burner, and what you're expecting is full-on sci-fi, which that is not this show. That is not what
you
they're
got
doing.
That, right.
That's what I'm saying. Your expectations is not what this show is.
Well,
this
you are very
that's
correct
true.
About that. And silly me, imagining it'd be on the sci-fi channel. There being sci-fi, but
this
we
is
know.
Not science fiction
really?
Channel
would,
anymore. It's just a name now. It's just a name. It's just a name. It is not a science fiction channel anymore. Period.
I agree with you guys are saying about it being more of a drama, but that's what makes the whole show cheesy. Because what are you watching the show for? Just like I said,
Carl
I want
watch
outer space stuff.
Carl be like,
that's why I'm watching the show. Now, if this was some type of setting, like okay, we're having the movie called St. Louis. Or something like that. And there was a whole bunch of people living in the neighborhood and going through all this stuff. And baby, and then, you got the baby's mama from the dude from the other neighborhood and people trying to get in touch with trying to get along with their father. And if it was that kind of thing, okay, fine. But this is a sci-fi thing, okay? I want to see some new technology. I want to see super villains that they got to think for 4 weeks on what kind of weapon they got to build to beat this thing. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
The drama part of it is supposed to be icing on the cake. Yeah. They've reversed it. Now it's like drama with sci-fi
that's
being
what I've been
the icing
saying.
On the
and
cake.
That's, I mean, if y'all continue to want, the space like we used to get, like the old school stuff, like the Star Trek, they're not doing that anymore.
Let's go back to the Iron Man movie. Okay, the Iron Man movie was, I think,
but that is a comic book movie and it's written for comic book people. That's what you're supposed to get.
But wait a minute. So we, if we are inventing a genre, then why call it sci-fi?
No. It's on the sci-fi channel that is no longer science fiction channel.
No, but I'm just saying, I mean, if we're assuming that Stargate is...
Because they're trying to trick us into something new, dude. They don't have the money to make shows like they used to. They want to do it on the cheap. They want to bring more people. They want to bring whoever's watching Lifetime. They want them watching Sci-Fi Channel. The nerds don't make enough money. We don't make enough money. We don't consume enough stuff with their advertising. We're not profitable enough. So they're trying to mix it and put cooking shows on.
I can't wrestling. Address the whole financial dynamics of the network. I just want a darn sci-fi program.
I understand but I'm just saying if you're looking for that in Stargate Universe, that's not what they're doing, and they're doing something else. And what you have to do is appreciate what they're doing, or you can't complain because you're trying to you want what you want, but they're not going to write what you want. Already said they're not going to do that. But shows are going to do that. I mean, Smallville does what it's supposed to do. It is what it is.
Show that delivers what the people are asking for. Well, all right, look.
We didn't ask for no damn SGU. We didn't ask for it. Let me tell you.
That's what I'm saying.
I know where you're coming from. I agree with you, Carl, but I'm just trying to tell you what they're doing. And what I'm trying to do is appreciate the show for what it is and not try to put my expectations on it. And that's all I'm trying to.
Fair enough.
that's fine. Well, I will give you that. I will give you
you're
that.
You're going to continue to watch it, aren't you? I know how you are.
Well, I don't know. I got it. Whenever Lieutenant James stands at attention, I really start to enjoy the show. But just momentarily.
Really?
But beyond that, there's not a lot more there for me. And I keep trying to give him a break, but I'm going to stop watching it. I can't do it anymore.
Okay.
I'm already beat you to that, Carl. But you know what? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with this show, frankly. I am going to do what I like to do, and I'm going to read. I'm going to glance at it every so often and read the forums, and just wait for some event to come up that's interesting, so I can catch the episode. And maybe, just maybe, somebody will come to their senses, and this show might turn out to be okay.
I don't know. The ratings are doing fine.
But other than that, I'm waiting for the Clone War. I've been watching the Clone Wars cartoons. They're the bomb.
Finn is in the bomb. I love that show, man.
It's the bomb. The cartoon is the bomb.
I couldn't believe it when I first started watching it. And you got to admit, during the beginning of the first season, it kind of felt like for kids. It started, it was a little bit kiddie. The cartoon, the animation. I was not a big fan of that, Ralph McQuarrie concrete look to everything. But, man, the stories were just off the chart. The character development is awesome. You're talking about some action. You got mess blowing up.
Should have been.
Thank you.
It's what Star Wars should have been.
You got mess blowing up, in the first 8 seconds of every episode. I'm like, this is what
How
I'm
talking
about.
How many seasons has this been on?
I think they're wrapping up the second.
Okay.
Is that right? Is that right? Second. Man,
it's the bomb.
Why don't I hear more about this? Like, why don't I?
I told you about it.
No. I know that. I'm supposed to be watching it. I gotta find it and find a DVD. But, is this as popular as we think it is? Or what do you think? I don't know
how popular it is, but I tell you what. The first episode that I saw of it, I was hooked. Because of just because it was not shallow. I expected it at first. I watched it just for the heck of it because my son was excited about it too because he's a Star Wars nut.
Oh, you raised him right.
So he told me about it. He says, "Hey, Daddy, have you seen the Clone Wars?" I'm like, "Nah, man." So after I saw it the first time, I was like, "I'm hooked. I got to keep up."
Did you see that movie?
Yeah, I saw the movie. The movie was okay. I think the series is better.
Series is definitely better.
I hear it from you guys.
Yeah, it's no joke. That series is really, really... Because I'm trying to figure out, why is this so good? Because the pacing, you talk about stuff is happening rapid fire. They got story arcs where from one episode to another, you can see B stories that are, that are actually, hinting at what's to come. I mean, you got characters that we all know and love. You got Boba Fett. Boba Fett's a bad kid, isn't he? He is a bad kid. And to see, what he's going through and how he's affected, I'm just really shocked at how good it is. And
is it heavy on science fiction? How does this work in science fiction?
It's heavy on action.
Okay. Maybe that's wrong with SGU, there's not enough. Well, there's some types of action.
There is no action.
It's really
it was some action at the beginning of the latest episode.
Boom, boom. But that was just imagined, turns out. It wasn't even real. It was just imagined. See, don't even care.
Okay, all right.
But Clone Wars, it's got action, but the characters are actually very well developed, which is really shocking.
Really deep characters, yep.
You get to find out about the clones. You actually get the bond with clones in Clone Wars, which, ironically enough, you should have expected. But they are people. And they have personalities, and you get to find out what they're going through, and it's really surprising how much attention they pay to a lot of stuff, and at the same time they can maintain the action and the adventure and the history of Star Wars, that they can introduce new characters, they can keep it interesting. I'm a big fan.
I agree, and like I said, it's the ideal balance. I think that a person that's into drama can get just as much into it because the characters have so much depth. I mean, you get into the fights and the internal struggles and the relationships. All that stuff is in this cartoon. And I mean, they really did a good job of doing that. And just like I said, even deeper, in my opinion, than the Star Wars movie. Because
when did
we really know about the characters in the Star Wars movie? They were just pawns in the middle of a bunch of special effects. Here, you dig deep into what Anakin's about, I like that his apprentice
Ahsoka. She's all right. Ahsoka's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so you see, Obi, you get more into Obi-Wan, and you get more into Yoda, and you get to know Yoda as a character.
Does this change anything that we already know about the characters, or it's just more?
Oh, yeah.
So is this canon, or what is this?
Well, I think, for example, the Anakin character, the movie, first, Darth Vader was not humanized at all, and then they over-humanized him. And I think that this series kind of brings that to a balance where you see Anakin was already, you know, an aggressive kind of dark type character all the way through the whole time, you know, other than just somebody who just popped up and was afraid his girlfriend was going to die and went to the dark side. He was already a dark character from the beginning. You know, mm-hmm. and you see that in this series. And I mean,
if
you
would have saw this, or?
He's not a bad guy. Okay. He's just a darker guy. You know, you think that you see this happy go lucky, I'm a hero type, and he's not like that at all.
Yeah, that, you know? remember what I say? I want to see a believable bad guys or your characters with some depth. The great thing about Anakin in Clone Wars, the cartoon, is you see him going back and forth throughout the series. Sometimes he's really dark and you can tell, you know, he's making a bad decision. Sometimes he's doing the right thing because he's trying to follow what the Jedi Council is saying. He's trying to look good in front of his apprentice. So you see that the turmoil with him. He goes back and forth. Sometimes good, sometimes heroic, sometimes bad, sometimes he's cutting the edge on something. And it's interesting to see that. We didn't get a real feel for that through the first three, you know, of the new Star Wars movies, which was sure disappointing. Didn't. And man, okay, now Kat, you're gonna appreciate the outfits. I'm telling you, people are looking good in Clone Wars. The
some person did a line recently that was based, like an actual fashion line that was based on the Clone Wars, and it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So
yeah well, see,
other people appreciate it too.
So yeah, Lucas and the crew, they know how to costume, you know, they know how to make the special effects, but they actually put a good storyline on top of it with the cartoon. It's definitely watchable. You gotta give it a try. Watch a couple of them because sometimes it can be hit or miss. Sometimes, you know, there's that Senate episode or there's the, you know, Godzilla, we gotta save Godzilla. Let's skip over those. Really, as a whole, you're really gonna like the characters and you're gonna like the story.
If I can tolerate SGU, I'm pretty sure I'll be fine.
Oh,
well, you'll like this way better than SGU. I'm telling you, you're gonna want to do a pod. You're gonna want to do a podcast.
I will. I want to. I just haven't had time. I'm gonna make this recording into an after party if y'all don't mind. I think it was interesting to hear the SGU discussion and the Clone Wars. People might appreciate that. So,
I'm with that. That's fine with me.
I'm cool. Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Wow, that was a lot of fun. We haven't done an after party where we just talked about anything in a very, very long time. So thanks, Carl, and thanks, Phineas. If you'd like to give your opinion on the things that we said in the show, please give us a call at 773-336-2686. You can pick up your phone right now. You can even text that number. It is 773-336-2686. You can leave comments on scifipartyline.com, or you can just simply tweet us at scifipartyline. And I guess we'll see you at the party next time.